I think the series overall has got to be a positive for International Rugby League. Three very decent crowds at Hull and Wigan on Saturday, and then that crowd at the stadium back for the second test, you know, over 40,000. And I think the RFL stats tell us that over 60% of those came from the southeast, so that's got to be a positive. And I think the games overall, the second test was disappointing, mainly because of the conditions and defences on top. But the first test was very open, and to be honest, the third test was looking a bit like the second one until the hour mark, and then things kicked off and England started to play a bit better rugby and went on and won the series, although it looked very tight at the end when New Zealand had that comeback. But overall, I think for both sides, New Zealand will be happy. They've included some young players. They've had a few of their top players, Sean Johnson and like out, injured for this series. They'll be improved for the Four Nations next year. England will be improved for the Four Nations next year. So overall, a very positive series on and off the pitch.
Well, Rich, it actually sounds like you're still walking back over the tops from Wigan from Saturday afternoon. It's quite noisy where you are, but we'll carry on. England, as you say, get the series victory. It was a good game in the end. Jason Nightingale of New Zealand did his best to try and scupper England's chances, but in the end they won 20-14. Now, Nightingale's try for New Zealand, that was pretty special, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone, whether they're a rugby league or rugby union or whatever sport they follow, when they saw what Jason Nightingale did, and not just the try, but the pass to set up the try late on for the Kiwis as well to keep the comeback in motion. I think that's the one abiding memory of that third test, because the one thing that rugby league has done in recent years is to take the corner flag out of play. So if you hit it, you're not out of bounds. You're still allowed to carry on playing. And that's given us some magical moments over the season in Super League and the NRL and now in this test series as well. So although New Zealand lost, it was two great moments for them with Jason Nightingale's try and pass. And it just made things a little bit special on the day as well, because as much as you want to see England win, you want to see some exciting rugby league, and those two moments certainly were that.
Of course, it's a big win for England. But you look at it, they've got a head coach in Steve McNamara who is now out of contract. Do you think that this win will push him further towards getting a new deal?
I honestly don't know. I think it's a very strange situation, especially because, you know, we did a poll on Sport on Sunday yesterday on Twitter. And I think when I checked the results this morning, it was something like 70-odd percent were in favour of him not being given a new contract, which is bizarre. I spoke to our New Zealand correspondent Andrew Marmont yesterday as well, and he was saying, you know, you look at the results he's got, you know, nearly getting to the Four Nations final last year, nearly getting to the World Cup final the year before that, and a series win now over New Zealand, and yet we're questioning his position. It's like people who question Roy Hodgson in football. You know, we've just qualified for the European Championships winning every single game, and yet people ask for his position. So It's a strange one. I don't think it's extremely popular among fans, as that poll shows, and it's not scientific. I'm not claiming anything, but I think people would rather see someone like a Darryl Powell or a Sean Wayne in charge of the team. And the strange situation, we've got the coach of the treble winners, Brian McDermott, coaches the USA national team. So it's a strange situation. I think if you look at it on results, you'd have to give him a new contract. But the way he was talking after the game on TV, the interview he gave on the television after the game, it was very non-committal. So I wonder if he's, you know, he wants the job. I assume he would, but it's a very strange situation. I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming days and weeks on Steve McNamara's situation. But it's an odd one for everyone to be in. Just put it that way.
And Rich, looking at the power of the rugby league community, obviously we both know Gary Carter, a local journalist who was attacked a couple of weeks ago in London. He's still critically ill. And the England players and the staff all wearing them shirts, offering their support. It really does show you the power of rugby league, and hopefully Gary can get well soon.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were both at the Rugby Union World Cup games across at Ellen Road, Tom, and you remember on the Sunday of the Scotland game, I was involved in a long discussion with Gary about the £1 million game the week after. You know, he's a great journalist, a great rugby league person. He's been on the show on a Monday night in the studio as well. And when you first read about it, it's one of those things where these things happen to other people. I'm not saying I know Gary personally, I just know him professionally, but he's a face and a person you see around the rugby league grounds. He's one who does the hard work. And it's just a shocking, shocking situation. And as you say, our thoughts continue to be with his wife and his family and friends. And we just hope he gets better soon and we see him next season back on the rugby league beat.
We most certainly do. You've talked about rugby union there. Obviously, Kevin Sinfield's made his long-awaited debut for Yorkshire Carnegie, and he got a conversion as well. Just how big a boost do you think this will be for Yorkshire Carnegie?
I think it certainly brings some more media attention, because I don't think we'd be talking about this now if Kevin Sinfield wasn't playing. I think the interesting thing is whether they can parlay it into a bigger crowd. It was free attendance yesterday at Headingley. They had to switch the game very late from Huddersfield, I think that was where they were going to play because of the flooding. But still only got, I think a crowd of 670 or something yesterday. And granted, it's only a British and Irish Cup game, which is very much a second-tier competition. But it's an interesting thing, isn't it? How does a team like Yorkshire Carnegie survive on crowds of, that number? And it is an exceptional circumstance for that, but that shows the power of funding in rugby union, that a team without a big attendance can still keep going week in, week out. And there's some big challenges ahead for Carnegie, especially when you think of the trying to get promotion into the Premiership. At least we know they've got the ground and they've got the finances, which other teams perhaps don't. But it'd be interesting to see how Sinfield goes now, especially, his little cameo yesterday. He scored a penalty or missed a conversion, which is quite amusing, but he got a big cheer when he came on, so he's obviously going to be a focal point for the club. And I guess it's just a matter of Brian Redpath being able to integrate him into the side well enough. But we know he's a quality rugby player, he's got a rugby brain. It's just a matter of switching that brain from Leagues Union, and he's in a far more specialised position when you think about it than Sam Burdish was in, because he's playing the fly half, which is the equivalent of a standoff in rugby league. So he's got to do a lot of thinking and a lot of decision making. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes. But I think there's a lot less pressure on him from a sense of, no one's talking about him playing for England, no one's talking about him playing and winning World Cups. It's just a matter of playing out his career in a sense at Yorkshire Carnegie. It will be fascinating to see how he goes, and fascinating to see how many Rhinos fans go along and see him in the next few weeks.
Just also to go back to Rhinos, news of Stevie Ward signing the new 5-year deal. He's actually been given the number 13 shirt. How important do you think it was for Leeds to get that deal tied up?
Well, I speak to you from this wind tunnel. I think I'm training for Formula One here. The Radio Yorkshire van's actually just gone past me, amusingly. I think it's a great deal for the Rhinos and for Stevie Ward, who's one of their standout performers last year. We always used to talk about Carl Abbott as being an unsung hero for them, and Stevie Ward's kind of taken up that mantle. And the number 13 shirt is a big shirt to wear. Obviously, Sinfield vacating it, but I don't think he'll see that as pressure, and I don't think the Rhinos fans will put pressure on him for that, because he's a good, quality young British player who's shown plenty of potential already for the Rhinos, and I'm sure he will do again in the coming seasons. And it's good that they can keep him in the British game as well.